Well, welcome to this riposte, of course, the DK&A Repos Non-League show tonight, and of course, in association with Repos Retail Solutions, and of course, live on the, or should we say, recorded this week. Of course, we've recorded this in the week, and you get to see it Monday. We've recorded this earlier in the week. And of course, you'll get to see that on the Square Media YouTube page, and we'll retweet it out. Don't worry, on Facebook and of course onto Twitter as well. But joining me and Ali, of course, we have a medal in our pocket now, of course, as well from this week, and so congratulations. Of course, is the one and only Gary Elkins, of course, the man that is the man of all apps, because we've just been speaking off air and just saying that what an amazing and incredible app that Football Web Pages is. And we just like to say that out loud straight away before we start chatting to Gary, what an incredible app it is. And a massive thank you to everybody, I think, in non-league football and in league football as well, for being able to keep us up to date with everything all in one place, all at the same time. So a massive thank you, Gary, from I think every football fan in the country, because it's an absolute fantastic app. But Ali, I mean, before we go to Gary, I mean, we talk to you. I mean, first off, I mean, we've got that medal and it's in the bag.
Yeah, it's one of those bittersweet moments. I think we're coming to the end of my time with Barking, sadly, but hopefully it'd be a great way to sign off with a little bit of silverware in the pocket. And it's just tough times, but yeah, great, great, great. Can't wait, really. Great match.
That phone will be alight now. Anyway, well, I mean, the game itself, Redbridge. I mean, Redbridge have had a great, had a great season as well. And they won a cup, won, come second, got promoted as well. I mean, in a fantastic relegation promotion playoff. I mean, I was listening to it and watching it on bits of it from people who were saying it and following it all over the place. And Football Web Pages, of course, and also on their own feeds as well. And they came back from 2-0 down to win that. Absolutely incredible. So to beat them when they're on such a high must have been incredible.
Honestly, like they've done us 3 times out of 3 this season. Two of them by quite considerable amounts. I don't want to say how many, but it was a lot. So I think you go into the game being a little bit nervous, a bit worried, a bit concerned about what might happen. I've got very young lads. My average age of my players is probably 19, 20. And you know what? Each to a man, they performed. They were outstanding. They were so strong. Resilient. I can't have enough words to say what they were, and they battled every part of that game. Redbridge's goal was a free kick. They didn't concede from open play, which is amazing, really. I can't say how proud I am of them. And to win on penalties again this season, these guys are the penalty specialists of the non-league football. I dare anyone to try and beat them on pens, man. They're outstanding. All right, it's great, great, Dave. There's no feeling like a bit, and you know what? I think in football you don't get success very often unless you're very lucky. And some of these boys, this is their first sort of senior level trophy, and they are never going to have that experience like that again, frankly. The first one's always the best one, so good luck to them. And yeah, I've still got a headache now, if I'm being honest.
Now, is that headache because it's a stress headache, or was the headache because it was plenty of the amber nectar in the
We
game?
I had too much fruit shoots. Some of them were 17, so yeah, too much fruit shoots.
Gary, I mean, if anybody knows, before we go on to Football Web Pages, of course, a massive Kingstonian fan as well. So, I mean, no disrespect, you had stuff to celebrate as well. I mean, because and on the opposite side, because it was a bit touch and go just for a period of time, and but you managed to stay up into this min prem.
I wouldn't say anything to celebrate. There's well, we go into it later maybe, but there's a lot of problems at the club. And yeah, we stayed up by a place, but it's awful. We're playing miles from Kingston. Crowds are on the down. It's horrible going to matches. It's just a horrible place at the moment. But yeah, I mean, obviously pleased we stayed up. But in some ways, I think if long term, it may have been better to have got relegated because I think the board might have sort of woken up to what they're doing. But yeah, we stayed up. But I can't see any good things coming for K's next season, unfortunately.
I mean, at least still at, what is it, Crimping Casuals there at the minute, isn't
No, so
it?
this
In that.
season just finished. We played at Tooting and Mitcham,
Right, that's it. Sorry, Tooting, yeah.
which, no disrespect to them at all. They're a lovely club and everything, but the ground is miles from Kingston. It takes ages to get there. it's huge. Our average crowd was 200 and something, and rattling around in there, it's just awful. And you know, the crowds weren't great at the start of the season. They've gone downwards since then, and it's just a depressing place to go. Funny enough, I was talking to an old Case fan this afternoon, and he saw my son. He said, "Oh, do you go to Case then?" And he sort of nodded politely. And I said afterwards, "Well, he's been, I think he's been twice this season, but it's just so such a horrible experience. He doesn't want to go back, and it's awful. It's
horrible, isn't it, when you get to that point of a team when it's not quite working, and you know, you can always not so much see it diminishing, but you can see what was once a great power just sort of starting that new cycle now where it comes up again from perhaps not a great place.
Oh, I think that's it. It's not the team, it's the club and the way the club's being run. You know, we used to play in Kingston, we voluntarily left Kingston, we're gradually moving further away from Kingston and losing all the support that we used to have from there.
So what is the story about Kings Meadow? Because I've heard a story about Kings Meadow and why you left and from what people told me, why you had to leave. So, I mean, what was the story with Kings Meadow? Because Chelsea were sharing it, and of course Chelsea are there sort of like on their own as such now.
Yeah, so Chelsea women are there. So, I mean, it's a very, very long story. But I think Case would have had to have left Kings Meadow by, I think, funnily enough, I think by this month. But the board voluntarily left, is it 5-6 years ago now? I can't even remember. And the quote from Mark Anderson, the chairman, was, "It's in the best long-term interest of the club to leave Kings Meadow." And at the time, I said that I didn't agree. And I think I've been proved right, because it's been awful since. We played at Leatherhead for a couple of years. We played at Casuals for 3, I think, and now Tooting for 1. The club haven't even bothered to confirm where we're playing next season, but everyone is just assuming it's going to be Tooting again. And as I say, the crowds are on the down. There's already talk about people, even the people that did have a season ticket, we're not going to renew because we don't want to be here. It's just a depressing place to be, to be honest.
And of course, Tooting themselves went down this year as well, so it can
absolutely
more depressing sort of area to be with. But what's the closest ground? So if Kingstone, in you know, had to, you know, can't get their own ground, where would they share? What would be the best?
Well, I mean,
what was the closest?
Yeah. This is what's difficult. You know, I do have sympathy with the board. They are trying to find a permanent ground, which is incredibly hard. You know, you can't buy a decent house in Kingston for less than $1 million. So how they're going to find anywhere to build a ground is incredibly hard. But you've got other ground. You know, I would go back to Corinthian Casuals. It was in the borough, wasn't in the town, but that's, as a sharing location, that's got to be better. Met Police is not far away. Hampton's not far away. But the board are scared of having to move into the Southern League, so they don't want to join any, or they don't want to play it anywhere that would make that more likely. So that knocks out, because we're really close to the border of the Southern League, so that decision kind of knocks out a good chunk of grounds that we could go to. To me, the ideal place is, funnily enough, is Kings Meadow. There is not where Chelsea women play, but literally next door is an athletics track where football is played. So to me, the club should be doing everything possible with the council's support to try and get the club playing back there. Because a Kingstonian playing near the town centre of Kingston is going to give you the potential to get all those lost supporters back. But there's this fallacy from the board that, oh, you can't fit a football pitch in an athletics track, which is obviously not true. And they just won't engage on that. They just keep coming up with these pipe dreams to move the club to, the first one was Chessington Golf Club, which is at the very end of the borough. That was a complete fallacy. Then they threw all their eggs into it's called a field in Lovelace that was never going to happen. And funnily enough, they can't move there. And now they're back to step one and sort of asking for praise because they sent an email to some guy at the council to arrange a meeting, and they put out a press release suggesting that that's progress in the search for a new ground. I mean, they have absolutely no clue what they're doing, the board. And I was part of a group that essentially not tried to buy them out, but tried to put money into the club for places on the board, and they weren't interested. And I don't really know what the future is holding for the club, to be honest.
Which is a shame, because it's one of those sort of How can you put it? It's one of the sort of classic sort of Isthmian clubs as well, isn't it? You know, Kingstonian, you know, the likes of themselves, even like Tooting have just gone down, you know, and you look at it and there's some sort of classic Isthmian clubs in the likes of yourselves, in the likes of even Harlow that have disappeared this season as well, since gone over to the Southern League, which again, you can see why, you know, maybe they don't want to go over there because that might happen with them, but, you know, different circumstances, of course, with that one. But you've got all these different pieces like the Abelies that have just gone up. There's some cult sort of Isthmian Grant teams, isn't there, that are in there. So you really want to see Kingstone and stay in there and really sort of be one of those top teams like you. You know, I even in my sort of 10, 12 years of being involved in non-league football, they were always one of the teams that were one of the powerhouses in the league or in that sort of, you know, sort of pushing towards the promotion areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kingstone, the name of Kingstonian is well known in non-league football. And, you know, we were in the conference as it was then for 3 years and had a good following then. And people still know us from the cup runs with Jeff Chappell and the trophy wins. So there's a lot of history there, which is why I think there is, you know, if we were able to get back to playing Kingston, I think there is a fair chance that we'd get a lot more support than we get at the moment. But asking somebody who used to go to maybe 5-6 games a season in Kingston to travel over to Morden and watch them in Tooting is ridiculous because they won't go. And even if they did, it would be a horrible experience. Mm. So honestly, I mean, I know it's hyperbole maybe, but I do really seriously wonder if the club's going to survive because the trajectory is downwards in every single way.
Yeah, which is a real, real shame. But let's get on to say this a bit more happy, shall we say, away from Estonian family. So go tell everybody when, because I don't know myself. How did you first come up with the idea of sort of football web pages, and when did it sort of first start and all start to come together? And is it just, I suppose on the second question, is it just you that runs football web pages, or have you got sort of a gang of people with you as well? I mean, tell us.
Do the second bit first of all, mate. It predominantly, almost entirely me. But there are a couple of other people who do little bits and pieces. Like there's a guy who looks after the servers and there's someone else who does bits of admin. But the rest of it is basically me. I'm certainly the developer of the website, the app, all that sort of stuff. So it's mostly me. But actually how it started, I was thinking about, I knew you'd ask this, so I was thinking earlier. I think it's about 25 years ago, actually. And it's to do with Kingstonian. So at the time, there was no website for the club. And so along with a mate of mine, we decided to start a website, as you did, for the club, and we wanted to have a league table on there. And it was ridiculous. There was no way of having a league table on a website unless you manually updated it every single time there was a match. And I just thought, this is crazy. There should be an easier way of doing this. And so the website was formed then, but it's nothing like what it is now. But essentially, it was just a way to allow other clubs to get the data of a league table and display it on their own site. That was kind of where it was all born. And it was very much a hobby at first. It was, you know, I spent a bit of time on it when I could. My background's obviously in IT. I'm a programmer by trade. But it was a hobby. And for quite a few years, it didn't do all that much. But then I think as mobile phones got started being used all the time, I just thought it would be good if people were able to get updates from non-league matches in the same way that you can if you follow a Premier League club. And so the idea came along of, I did it for Kingstonian first, but more as a test really. But the idea was that somebody at the game, who was me at first, was sending in updates when something happened. That was then being received, and then it could send out updates and update league tables, all that sort of thing. So that was where like the live scores system was born. And it even that was quite slow. It probably only a few clubs used it for the first maybe 2-3 seasons. But then one summer I got into discussions with Nick Robinson from the Isthmian League, who wanted, he'd seen it and he thought, well, that's quite good. We want to use it for the league. And so eventually we made an agreement that we would be, if you like, their live scores provider. I think we'd have a name like that. But essentially, Isthmian League clubs are required to use the live score service. So they have to send in updates from their matches, which there was a little bit of resistance at first, because obviously not all non-league clubs have someone spare who can do that voluntarily. Or at the time, I remember there were problems with bad connections, bad mobile phone signals at one club or another. So there was a little bit of teething trouble. But after you've been used for a season, I think really all the clubs really appreciated it, because yes, they had to find that volunteer, but obviously all of their supporters and staff and everyone can benefit from having the information. And because it's coming from the clubs, it should be reliable. Obviously, people make mistakes every now and again. But essentially, if you see an update from a match, you should be able to have faith that it's true, rather than, you know, scrolling through Twitter and trying to find updates from different matches. So that was where we sort of kicked on from. And then maybe 2-3 years later, the Northern Premier League, I can't remember if I got in touch with them or they got in touch with me, but we decided together that we'd do the same thing for them. And again, they've really, really liked it. They, in some ways, they actually use it a bit more than the Isthmian League now. So their social media is a lot more tied into it than the Isthmian. I think my aim all along with that side of things was to provide the same service to non-league fans as people who follow Premier League fans. And, you know, we're not quite there yet, because you don't get your XG and your number of passes and your number of corners, but you get the updates that you want, and you can see, you know, last day of the season, it goes crazy. There's so many people looking at live league tables all the time. And you can see that, and you can believe what you can see, which I think is testament to all the volunteers out there that put the information in as well, I suppose.
So what happens with, you know, with the non-league stuff, and as I will know, because I used to use it myself when I was doing stuff for Harlan, you're putting the stuff in and all the rest of it. But what about who's then does the stuff, say, like for the Premier League or for those divisions? And, you know, now you just put the ladies in there as well. So who puts all that information in? Because surely somebody from Arsenal was not sitting there on football web pages tapping that in.
No, sadly not. They didn't answer my email. But certainly Premier League and those sort of leagues, there are data feeds that you can subscribe to. So we subscribe to a feed, and I can't even remember who it's from, but essentially you check the feeds every few seconds when there are matches happening, and you find a goal and you then process it from there. So that's how all those work. And there are loads of them. For leagues like Premier League, Football League, even the National League, there are lots of feeds around that you can use. Some are more reliable than others, but we've got a really good one at the moment. It's all automated. So, I was in America for 2 weeks at the start of April, which is obviously quite a busy time for the website. But although I was monitoring it and checking it, it just sits there doing its work by itself, which is great for me.
I just had this sort of like imaginary thing in my head that it was yourself and a load of other people there, keep going into the different sides, going, quick, let's score, quick, tap it in.
Yeah, I mean, you would need such a big staff to do that sort of thing. It would be unworkable. And also you wouldn't be as quick as we are now, because, you know, the feeds are updated incredibly quickly. That's the way they work. Mm.
And with the actual sort of with the website, so it's the one thing that everybody loves, and I look at it almost from week one. I don't know about anybody else, but there's a lot of people, and I'm just a saddo when it comes to that. But I'm going to the predicted table for the end of the year. I mean, where does that come from? Is that yourself thinking?
We get lots of messages about the predicted table, and normally it didn't happen this season, but normally the Daily Express will do a story based on the FWP predictions, God knows why. But so it actually came about, it was something I wanted to do. I wanted to do a predicted table. And I work part-time at a school. And so I took the head of maths to the local pub several years ago now. And we just sat in the pub, he's a big football fan as well, Mike. And we just sat talking about how to do it. And we came up with a statistical method for predicting the scores. I honestly can't. I think the way it works is it looks at every score between 0 and 10. So it'll look at 10 all, it'll look at 10-9, 10-8, 10-7, and it picks the most probable, of those, and it uses that as a prediction. But, you know, I never really intended it to be used in a serious way, but some people look at it and think it's, that's what we think is going to happen, and sort of send a message, a quite not aggressive but complaining message if we're wildly out in our predictions, that sort of thing. But if I was good enough to predict all of the scores for the rest of the season, I think I'd probably retire by now, and I wouldn't need to be running a website.
I mean, how many sort of leagues and clubs have you actually got officially linked to? Is it just the Northern and the Southern that you've actually got? Sorry, Northern and Isthmian that have actually sort of linked into it, or have you got that you have gotten?
So at the moment, it's the Isthmian and the Northern Premier use the live score system, and we obviously share data with them so that they don't have to input things twice. The National League is difficult because the National League, ex-conference level, they do a lot of work with the Press Association, so they don't. There is good coverage for the National League. National League North and South, there isn't very much around, so we have tried to get in touch with them about trying to do something there, but they've never really seemed that interested. And obviously, the other one that we'd love to get on board is the Southern League, which is something that people, I know, David, you sent a message as well saying, why are the Southern League not on there? And we get those messages quite regularly. But all I can say is that we'd love to have them on there. We have tried to get them on board. I think we were about this time last year, we were close, and there was someone at the Southern League who was very keen. But when they presented it to, I think they presented it to the board, they said that no, they wanted to stick with their existing system for the season just gone. So I have got back in touch with this person to say, how did it go? We're still here, we're still keen, but I've not heard back yet. So if anyone out there has contacts, please send them my way.
I've
I'm
got to
sure.
say, Markham were relegated last year from the Isthmian, and I was so gutted when I found out we're going to be on football web pages no more.
Well, so this is something, I mean, I'm sort of stopping at the bottom step four, but I shouldn't, because we'd love to cover step five and six as well. And we have had a couple of leagues sort of want to get involved, but the difficulty there is to run the service, we have to have a reliable set of fixtures, and we have to be able to check things. And step five and six almost universally use the FA's full-time system, which would be perfect, but we are not allowed to access it. And I have been in touch with people from the FA, and they have categorically said we are not allowed to access their system to get fixture information or to check things. So we can't do it, which is a real shame, because we'd love to do it. They'd love to do it as well. But the barrier is there, unfortunately.
I must
All
say,
right.
Gary, your program, it forms part of what, for so long now, it's formed so much of my weekend ritual, in that you get to the game, you invariably on the bench, the players go, what's my sub number? And you check your number on there, say, oh, you're 15, Bob and everything else. That's the unseen help for me as a physio.
Yeah.
But also, just after the game, 5 o'clock you finish, by 10 pop up, I'm on the live table, seeing how all my friends are getting on, all my old clubs are getting on. Checking who played, didn't play. We've got cards. Who scored? It's honestly, I love it so much. I can't put it into words how much your little app helps my Saturdays go round.
That's nice to hear.
Do you know how many people have actually, did you get a total of how many people have actually downloaded the app?
I probably could, but I
Yeah,
honestly
no, I
don't
was just
know.
curious, because I'd be very surprised if it's, well, I would have thought it's got to be well into six figures.
Everyone I
I don't
know
know. I mean,
probably.
when I go to non-league matches, I see people on there regularly, and obviously they don't know who I am, which is absolutely fine. That's the way I quite like it. But yeah, so obviously it's very well used.
And so if the likes of like the Essex Senior League and the Scaffold League had their own sort of websites with their fixtures and that on it, then you would be able to maybe put those two leagues onto the actual
Yeah.
onto football web page. But it's just because they're in that FA full-time stuff that they can't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We have to be able to access a fixture list to know which matches are going to happen. But then, with the best will in the world, people do make mistakes, so we need to also be able to check. So we've got something that runs every day that checks all the league tables and says, you know, this one's out of date, check it. Or someone might, you know, a team might have been deducted points, for example. We wouldn't necessarily know that until we realise that the league table's out of date. So it's those two things that we need. And as I say, unfortunately, the FA's full-time site is ideal. And there's no, technically, we could do it, you know, by tomorrow, probably. But they have said that, no, we are not allowed to access it in the way we need to, which is a real shame.
And for me, I don't know about Ali can say it, says it or not, but for me, it was one of those things where the new season doesn't start until Football Web Pages clears itself down. Do you know what I mean? That's when the football season starts, because it's like you go on there one day, I know it's supposed to be this one in this league, but until Football Web Pages tells me for definite, even though you might have been at the AGM, until Football Web Pages tells me that I'm in the
North Premier, David. I'm not in anywhere. My life is literally run by Web Pages when I'm in those leagues. I've struggled so much this season knowing what I'm doing each week.
Yeah. No, I mean, the summers, it's difficult because, you know, all right, you might go to the AGM. I don't go to them, but I need to know that all of them have happened and everything's confirmed because... All right, things change late on, but it's sort of a guessing. Can I do it yet? Can I do it today? Can I do it today? You have to wait and right. I'm confident now, and we'll go for it. So I'm checking that. Is it the non-league maps projections all the time at the moment to see who's going to be where? But until the AGMs have happened, then it's not really worth doing anything, to be honest.
Well, I can tell you the Summer Leagues one's the 17th. I think it's 17th of June, 16th or 17th of June. So I know it's around that somewhere. Feels a little bit late this year, that does as well, 16th, 17th of June. But it's I think it's one of those things, isn't it, with that sort of scenario. You just don't know. I mean, I speak to the guy from, you know, and apologies to the gentleman or to the lady even that runs non-league maps, because I'm not sure what the person's name is on the other end of it. But we have general chats quite regularly through DM, you know, but that seems to change quite regularly as well, doesn't it? Because it depends on who's getting relegated, who's getting promoted. If there's a load of Essex teams sort of dropping out of the Isthmian North, then all of a sudden, then hang on a minute, where do these ones go and what divisions do they drop into? So that must be as you said, a nightmare for somebody like yourself having to, and I'm assuming you have to put all that, do you put all that in by hand, or is that something from another programme?
Yeah, it's fairly manual, actually, the rollover or whatever you want to call it. I did try to automate it. It's actually just easier to do it manually. It's fine, but yeah, I mean, the projections are great, but they are just projections, and it's all well and good drawing a line on a map, but it's not those people who decide. It's not us who decides. We have to just wait for the call to be made. But interesting times anyway.
Is it? I mean, for me though, is there one? What's the sort of, when you first started doing it, I mean, and you said it sort of snowballed quite slowly at first, and now it's coming to, I just see it as big as Sky Sports now, the app, do you know what I mean? Just, if not bigger, in all fairness, because of what it is. But it's one of those sort of things, though. But when you get emails come in, or DMs come to you, or tweets and Facebook and whatever else come into you, what is the one sort of thing that these people are asking you for? To, you know, information wise to go on there. Is there one sort of thing that they say, come on, you know, Gary, why have we not got this on there? Or why?
I mean, I, one of the things was something that you've mentioned, David, which was the women's leagues on the app, which I'm pleased to say are now on there. They weren't on there originally, and I can't remember why that was even done. But once they weren't on there, it was actually quite complicated to then get them on there. But we regularly got messages about that. And I'd sort of promised myself and everyone in the replies that it would be done in time for next season. But then I'd looked at it, actually, I think it was only this week or last week. And it wasn't quite as difficult as I thought. So now they are on there, which I'm very pleased about. But the women's game is something I'd actually like to cover a lot more, because there are very few. We get goal updates, but we don't get lineups. We don't get any more information than that. So I think it might be something that's worth exploring, maybe with them. I don't know whether they'd be interested in using the live score system as well or not. But that's certainly one, getting more exposure, I suppose, for the women's side. It also, as we were talking earlier about step 5 and 6, we do get messages from It's normally the leagues themselves, to be honest. I think particularly when they have clubs who are relegated from the Isthmian or the Northern Premier, who are then in a league that doesn't use FWP, then we get the messages saying, oh, can we still use it? And yeah, they can use it. Like if you get Barking, it's fine. If you want to use it, keep using it. But it won't be as good because the other teams in the league don't. So I'd say they're probably the two. It's about coverage more than functionality, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that was what I used to find frustrating with it sometimes. When you go into it sometimes and it was, and you would... You go into it as an Isthmian team, say like with Harlow and Ustick for Harlow, and you go into it and you'd be playing maybe, I don't know, a Northern Premier Division team or an Essex Senior League team or one of these sort of teams, Southern League team, and you go, oh, but they're not in it. Or you'd be away to them in an FA Cup game and it wouldn't be on there. Do you know what I mean? And their team wouldn't be on there. And you're thinking, well, why are they not putting it? Because you're so used to in that regimental thing of actually putting it in.
Yeah.
Why is there no info in there? Well, why is it in there? Or getting that call from Kelly, you know, Kelly Discipline from the league. You haven't pressed kickoff. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I know. I mean, we've got quite a good sort of rule structure now. So if a team is away in the FA Cup to a team who doesn't use it, the away side has to send in the updates. But you're right, there wouldn't be a lineup probably from the home team. I mean, if they wanted to put it in, they could. But I think really, and it was in discussions with Kelly actually that we came up with like the rules, if you like, they didn't want to make it too onerous for teams. So there is no requirement for them to put in the team if you're away to someone who doesn't use the app, because you just want them to be able to use it the way they used to and get on with it. But what confuses them now is if an Isthmian team is away to a Northern Premier League team, because they think they're going to have to do it, but actually the NPL use it as well, so the home side will do it, but they work it out, it's fine.
I just think, again, that's a bit like we both said. It's just one of those things where you use it and it's such an easy system to use as well. You know, when you go into it, it's a lot easier than other ones that we've tried to use as well before. And I think it just makes life so much easier for everybody. Even if you get to a stage where, you know, you make a mistake or whatever else, it's so easy to go into it and make that correction to physically change, you know, to change it as well. It's just, you know, fantastic. But is there anything as well also that's in the, because of course you haven't got everything in the app that's on the actual website. So is there sort of updates from yourselves as well, looking at that going, well, look, you know, there's a couple of good things on the website. Can we see if we can get it into the app as well?
Not particularly at the moment. I mean, I think the decision on what was in the app and what wasn't was more about the screen size, to be honest, because obviously the vast majority of people that use the app are on a phone which doesn't have a great deal of screen real estate. So things like the progress charts, for example, they look great on a big screen, but if you look at them on a mobile, it is not really worth looking at. So that's not there. What else? I suppose appearances and goal scorers aren't there. I suppose there's no reason why they couldn't be on there. But I think the app was more about what are people going to want to look at during the match. I'm at the match. I want to see the scores today in the live league table. The Vinnie Printer is on there if people like that. So it's more focusing on that side of things, I think.
So, I mean, you said about that's how you first started it because you wanted to do something for King Standard. But has it sort of surprised you, though, of how much of a beast it's got?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I said to you that it started very much as a hobby, and now honestly, it's a business. It's, you know, I don't just work on FWP. I do other things, but it brings in an okay income. You know, I get to do nice things like this. I've got to know a lot of different people. It's great. It, I would never have imagined it would end up being like this. And it's great just hearing you and Ali talking about how you use it and how useful it is, how easy to use it is. It's great. I'm very proud of it, to be perfectly honest.
Ali?
No, I said, honestly, I can't sing its praises enough. I have to ask you, though, what's the future for FWP? What's coming up in our latest app? Anything new? Any
I don't know.
spoiler alerts?
There is something. One thing I am working on. It's not a big thing, but I had a random comment from a guy I know a while ago. He said there used to be a page on there that was called Staying Up, or was it? I think it was called Staying Up or Going Up. One of those two, and you could see if you were in the relegation zone or fight, you could see what's the highest we can finish, what's the lowest we can finish, who we got to play, that sort of thing. So I think I'm going to try and put something like that on there. That maybe as the season progresses, you can see the highest place we're able to finish, the lowest place we're able to finish, that sort of thing. I think that'd be quite useful. But I mean, there are, I suppose, higher up in Premier League, that sort of, you know, and Football League, there's a lot more data for matches available now. So we could do things with like XG and touches and passes and all of that. But to me, I don't really see the point. Like, you can get that from loads of other apps or from other news media. I quite like that FWP is more focused on non-league. And, you know, we're not going to start getting that sort of data for the non-league level. So there is kind of a limit to what we can do, really. I do still work on it quite a bit. So any suggestions are very welcome. And we do get suggestions from people sort of saying, why not do this, or can you change this or adapt this? So very happy to hear all of those.
And I mean, does it disappoint you, though, when you've got such a great, you know, great sort of app going, that, you know, like the FA and that, to turn around and say, well, no, you can't get that information off of there and stuff like that, because it's, you're just trying to help clubs and just doing, you know, just, and leagues out more than anything else. So they've got sort of one focus to find all their scores. Because just to be honest, if your app wasn't there, I would be very, very interested. Someone did a poll. If someone said Football Web Pages wasn't there anymore, where would you then go to try and find your non-league results? I don't think anybody would know.
No. I mean, there are other sites out there. I think quite a lot of them use our data, to be honest, which is fine. But yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating, honestly. I'm not much of a schmoozer networker. I don't know all that many people, and maybe it is just not knowing the right people. And if I did know the right people, maybe I could get them to sort of understand where I'm coming from. Because you're right, David, you know, the point that we're trying to meet is to help clubs and help leagues and help supporters. And it's just frustrating that we have a system that could be used by these clubs and these leagues, but unfortunately they can't use it. And it wouldn't even be that difficult. You know, we could absolutely, if we got the okay from the Southern League and the FA, we'd have full coverage from the Southern League next season. We'd have probably full coverage of Step 5 and 6 throughout. So yeah, it's just frustrating.
Especially when you think, and his name escapes me, so bear with me, you might know the name because you play him every year twice. Was the was it Jack, the Bognor Regis, was the Bognor Regis manager that's now in, he's like one of the top men in the FA. And you think, well, he used to be part of Bognor Regis, he was the Bognor Regis, you know, manager, you know, for years. And you think to yourself, well, surely there's a connection there that he would sort of be able to maybe do something. And I know there's possibly some people like Lawrence Jones as well, who's in charge of the non-league system as well, that could, you know, possibly help out. And Jack's last name escapes me, but I'll have to try and remember what it is before we finish. But you know, these people are sort of in that. And you teach them, these people out there just trying to boost that sort of, you know, the non-league family, help the non-league family out. And I know, you know, you're helping the, you know, the sort of everyday sort of, like, you know, Arsenal fans and you know, Tottenham fans and Bradford fans, Leighton Orient fans, by putting their scores on there as well. Because as you said, whatever ground you seem to go at, you know, I was at Leighton Orient the other week and there was people sitting behind me using Football Web Pages to have a look to see how Stevenage were getting on, to see if they were going to win the league or not. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, wow, you know, we're sitting here, and it's only, I won't say only, but if you're sitting there at Brisbane Road, you know, Division 2, and someone's sitting there checking your app to see whether or not, you know, to see what was going on. They weren't using, you know, Sky Sports' app. They were using Football Web Pages to see whether or not Stevenage were losing, I think it was against Mansfield on the day, to see whether or not, you know, Leighton Orient were going to be champions or not.
And that's, I'm not. We obviously we cover those leagues and very happy to, but you're right. We want to provide the service for the non-league side more because there is a lack of alternatives. And so, as I say, maybe it's just not knowing the right people to speak to. And who knows? Maybe someone watching this will be able to put us in touch with the right people to try and help out. But it is. It's great for the leagues that have it because you've got, as I said, you've got the kind of reliable information. But as at the start, when we were talking about Kingstonian, we are on the border of moving to the Southern League. If we did end up in the Southern League, it would change completely how I follow non-league football, if you like, because suddenly I wouldn't know who the other or how the other teams are doing. I wouldn't know on the last day of the season if we're going up or staying up or whatever it might be. And it's a very, very different experience, I think.
Well, that gentleman's name is Jack Pearce, and he is the chairman of the National League. And he used to be Bognor Regis manager up until, I don't know, maybe 12 months ago, if maybe less than that, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around that sort of area, maybe 18 months ago, whatever. So he's now in, he's now in the National League. Do you know what I mean? So you'd think, well, you've been there, done it for years and years and years. I know he was a Bognor Regis manager for a long period of time, he would have used football web pages himself, I would have thought.
Well, maybe worth the message. So I'll try and dig out some contact info and see what I get.
I think you take it for granted, David, when you don't have it. I'll be honest. It's coming down from that Isthmian to that Essex League. You just don't know what you're missing till you haven't got it. On that last day of the year, you're going, oh, so-and-so's winning this. I remember watching the Isthmian Prem on the last day of the season, and suddenly out of nowhere, the Hornchurch score just changed, and their position went like that. I went, oh my God. It's so immediate, like, oh my God, that's amazing. But like, it's like you're sitting watching the games on TV. I know you haven't got it in front of you, but it's so amazing how quick and real time it is.
Well, it's
Albeit
just
maybe 30 seconds later, who knows, but.
that we're looking at football web pages in a few weeks' time. We see Arsenal jump above Man City again. That'd be quite nice.
Like, David, don't upset yourself, mate. Don't upset yourself. Don't
Not
get
sure the predictor table says that's going
happen. Not anymore, it don't. No, it did earlier on. Does it say if Declan Rice is coming as well?
You leave him alone, David. He wants to win next year, mate. That's what he wants to do. He wants some trophies.
I mean, for yourself, though, I mean, what's the future for yourself? And I know Ali just said with the app as well, but I mean, is it something with the website as well? I mean, is there stuff there that you feel that you can, because I think a lot of people forget that, in all fairness, I think a lot of people forget that there's actually maybe is a football web pages website because everybody seems to use the app and people don't realize that the website is actually physically there. So tell us a little bit how the website sort of came about. Did the website come before the app or did the app come after? It's a bit like the chicken and the egg, isn't it? But which came?
No. The app was definitely second. It was a website for a long time, and then I think we came up with like a mobile version of the website. That it used to be a thing where you used to have a desktop website and a mobile website. So yeah, the mobile website then came along, and then eventually we just went for it and did the app. I think we're on about version 3 of the app now. It was something that I'd never done, honestly. So my background, as I say, is as a programmer, and almost everything I've done is web related. And so actually developing the app was very, very different. And it took a while to get it right, I will say that. But now it's, I think anything that I develop is never the prettiest. And I think it could, there are lots of apps out there that look better, but people will always say that anything that I design or develop is easy to understand, easy to use. So I'm not that bothered that it doesn't look as pretty or as graphical as some other similar things out there. But yeah, I mean, the website that we've got at the moment is fine. I think in terms of the future, it will probably have in the next maybe couple of years, it will probably have a major redesign because it's been the way it is for quite a while, and things really do move on in the web world very quickly. So there are different things that we could use to make it more efficient, make it work, just work better. But it's very hard to do that with an existing site, so it might end up being a kind of redesign of the overall site.
But is that sort of like, you know, when you bring it up, it's that green straight away. You recognize that it's football web pages with the green, don't you? Like the bottle green. Would you say it's bottle green or what color it is?
Oh, I don't know what it's, I suppose it's the brand color. I'm not that into branding, but it's the color that we use everywhere. So, it's recognized by people. So that's what we want.
So why not red and white then if you were Kingstonian?
I don't know. You know what? I think. the site very first started, it was blue. It was like a light blue, and then at some point there was a redesign, and I think it was just football is green and the pitch is green, so we'll go for green. And I, to be honest, I've tried very hard not to let my club thoughts influence it at all. So I think if you look at the app store, I think you'll see the teams, you know, you can add your own teams to the app. Kingstonian are there, and I think Tottenham are there because that's the team my dad follows. So that's probably the only little indication that that there is some not bias, I suppose, but that's my thoughts in it, I suppose.
So you say, you know, Kingstonian doesn't sort of like, what's the name with pages, but every time I go into that predictive league table for the Isthmian Prem every year, Kingstonian in the top.
God, I tell you what, no chance. Absolutely, they were never. Absolutely no chance for this season just gone.
So, I mean, next year, though, I mean, you know, I mean, that league is probably going to be even harder next year, would you say, going on with Kingstonian? Because, I mean, the Isthmian Prem is going to be something else next year, isn't it? With the likes of Dulwich, Hamlet possibly dropping into it, Concord Rangers dropping into it, Cheshunt dropping into it. You know, and then you've got the like, you know, there's just, you know, the likes of Hashtag, which will be, they'll probably be even stronger going into it next year as well. You know, this big old team's going to be into that division next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think we are looking at any of the teams that you mentioned dropping down into the Isthmian Prem. We are not going to be anywhere near the top. So we're going to be more worried about your Basingstokes, your Hashtags, your Walton Hershams, because it's going to be a real, real struggle for K's to stay up. I really believe that. You know, we got through three managers this season. We got through three entire first 11s, I think. You know, I think there was one player in the final game who was there at the start of the season. It's just been incredible. There's just no money coming into the club. It became a bit of a standing joke that every single home match was sponsored by the Kingstonian Supporters Club. There is just no sponsorship marketing happening for the club, and there's no money coming in. So the budget obviously wasn't great this year because we finished a place above relegation. It surely is going to be lower next year. So I think it's going to be a real struggle for K's to stay in that division.
And yeah, I must admit, I was there the day that Spence and I, you know, bought Kingstonian to Enfield Town, and I was doing sort of commentary on the thing at the time, and I thought you were impressive on that day.
Like, I was there. I was there that day, and we played really well. We won 2-0. I can't remember the score, we played really well. But that was one of the very, very few occasions that we looked like a team, to be honest. I think after that we didn't win for God knows how long, and Spencer left, and
he went off to sunny Dubai, didn't he?
He did. It was very odd. It wasn't going that well for him, and there was a lot of discontent from the supporters saying that the board should get rid of him, and then all of a sudden he had a job offer and had to leave anyway. So I think one good thing about it is that Simon Lane obviously came in and did manage to keep us up, but the board can't have any credit for that because they didn't sack the previous manager. It was forced on them because he had a job offer that he couldn't refuse. So they got sort of forced into making the right decision, I think.
As you say, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's some non-league football. It's almost got to that stage, Gary. I don't know if you agree with me as well. It's got to that stage where, sort of 10 years, 12 years ago when I first started doing it, I think that sort of level then, back to 10, 12 years ago, which was, say, step three, 10, 12 years ago, that level now is possibly step six. if you know what I'm trying to say. And you know, and because the level of step three and even step four and even some of the clubs in step five is incredible. I mean, have you noticed that yourself? And I think that's what maybe is costing some teams, maybe the likes of Harlow, the likes of Kingstone, and the likes of Tooting and Mitcham, almost been caught on the hop as such with the actual. It's just been incredible, the difference in, you know, when you've now got, and I don't mean it's no disrespect whatsoever, because they're a fantastically run club, fantastic. I mean, hashtag United, no one's heard of them 10 years ago, had they? You know, now they're step three, and let's be honest, Avery got into step two this year. Who's to say hashtag ain't going to go all the way through it?
I've played them last year. They are something different. They've got the social media thing on lock. They've got they're a really progressive club. Yeah. I think they might surprise the Isthmian next year. I'll be honest with you, I'd have a side eye on them. They are a very good club.
They're another Dorking Wanderers, aren't they? I mean, Dorking Wanderers just disappeared. They were, you know, I remember them being a division below Arlow and coming up, and now they're sort of in step one now, aren't they? So it's mental.
Yeah, I think it's right. And there's lots of clubs who are kind of coming up, who are being run in the right sort of way for this day and age. You know, you say about difference in quality. Kay's played a Surrey Senior Cup match, but we played Rains Park Vale at their place. Now, Rains Park Vale have just been promoted from step five. But in this match, Kane's played their first team, absolutely 100% first team. Rains Park Vale rested, I think, 9 or 10 players because they were going for a promotion. They wiped the floor with Kingstonian. It was 4-1 in the end, but that was because we scored a deflected one in the 90th minute. And there, you know, it'll only be another year till they're in our league as well. Or maybe we might miss them on the way down. I don't know. But there are clubs who have been really, really well run. Like you say about hashtag, I'd say Warren and Hersham would be a similar team too. I think that's what makes it sad. I said at the start that I was part of a group that tried to put money into K's, and honestly, we would like to do that sort of thing. We are a sort of a younger generation of people with a wide variety of skills, with some finance to put in. We would want to do the sorts of things that the people running Warren and Hersham or hashtag are doing. And for whatever reason, the board weren't interested. So we can't do it.
Which is a real shame. But I mean, I don't know. I suppose it's frustrating. Sometimes you get really, really frustrated with the team that you support, especially at non-league. I mean, I don't know about you, Ali. Do you ever get to that stage as well where you know, the team that you support, where either there's an issue with how the club may be run, or you feel there's an issue with how the club may be run, or frustrations because you can see things that you could do another way? I mean, have you ever had that with any?
I think I've been quite lucky, relatively speaking. I think I've had quite good clubs that I've worked with. Maybe West Ham, that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? But it's a great season this year. But I think essentially, I've always been with clubs that are quite progressive. Whether they've got the ground or the ability to grow, I think they've got the inclination and the intention to grow. I think that clubs I've worked with have always been very progressive and as much as they can be within their limits. So I think that they're on their way up. I'm quite lucky, I suppose. I've not really had that too much. Maybe a bit of Greenwich Borough, but then they had a bit of a turnaround, bless them, and didn't work out for them. I think that probably protected me more from the outside looking in about what happened with clubs like Greenwich Borough, where they suddenly get injection of money, they go massive and they collapse. That breaks my heart probably more. But yeah, I'm quite lucky, I think, David. I might have to deal with that, to be much honest. I just stay in the video room and keep your mouth shut. Best way to be.
So I suppose last question tonight, and it's away from, you know, away from web pages, away from Kingstown, just general non-league fans, as the three of us are as well. Who do you see maybe next season, steps, shall we say, steps three, steps four? Who do you think maybe in step four and also maybe in step three are going to be that surprise package next year that you don't, as you're sitting here at the minute, you don't expect to see go on a flyer and get promoted next year? Is there one side there that you look at and think they could be the side that step three or step four that could cause a few shocks next year? Gary?
I think for me, I would say Rains Park Vale, who I mentioned earlier. They're very local to us, to me here. And I've seen them a couple of times, and they've just got something about them. You know, they wiped the floor in their combined counters. They won, and they've just got it going on. They know what they want to do. They know where they want to be. They've got a little bit of money behind them. They've got some good players and staff. And I think, you know, I think unfortunately what might happen is the Kingstonian might miss them on the way down. I can see them being really strong. Good chance of them going up, and I can see a good chance of Kays going down, unfortunately.
Step three? How do we go in step three?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly only really know about the Eastman. I don't really know enough about the rest. There's so many teams who've just missed out, aren't there? It was so tight at the top. Any of them could be challenging. All the ones coming down, like you say, whoever we end up getting. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very, very difficult at the top of the Eastman Prem, I think. But unfortunately, I won't be looking at it. I'll be looking at the bottom.
Ali, what do you reckon?
I'm going to be slightly biased. I think I sense Lewis are going to do something massive next year.
Yeah.
I hear the rumblings of change. And I don't think Mr. Russell will sit on what happened this year comfortably. So I think that they'll probably do something crazy next year. I think coming up from our league, Enfield, were very strong. They ran away with our league. I think they'll do something mad in the north, if they're in the north, because that league works very weirdly to me.
Anyway, they could be anywhere.
Cool, for one, I don't know. Above that, I'm just trying to think, really. My gut is I think Dulwich could do something as well. I know they'll just come down. I think they want to battle back up because they won't tolerate that as a club.
I mean, I saw their. I think their last ground was nearly 3,000. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's just Dulwich staying in that league very long. You know what? I love the idea of Dulwich being back around that Isthmian. Mm. I think it's exciting for all involved, and not for Dulwich, but it's good to have those sort of clubs around again. Yeah, I mean, Averley are a class club. I'll be honest. I was at their ground recently. I love their ground. I think they've got a opportunity to do something big. Will they do it? I don't know. My gut's saying Lewis are going to do something next season. We'll see.
Well, for me, I think the team that step four that could cause, step three next year that could cause a few shocks. We mentioned them just a minute ago. I think it'll possibly be hashtag. I think they could be one that could go in there and absolutely set that place on fire next year. I think there'll be maybe a few clubs might take them, you know. Lightly a little bit, and I think they will.
I think that they might also wake up the league to. Obviously, I know I do the social media stuff outside of here with the Dons and whatever, but I think that they are going to bring a new life to that league, and what they bring to the table and what they do with their media, it's phenomenal, frankly. And I think it might give the league into something new, which I think everyone needs every now, don't they?
Absolutely. Well, step four for me, finally, and we've mentioned them, we've had them on the show, and I just think they're probably one of the nicest clubs. You know, present club excluded that I'm at the moment, of course, Enfield Town, but one of the nicest clubs I've ever been to. I think they're an absolute credit to themselves and everybody else. And I think as long as the travelling doesn't kill them, then Mousel will be the team to look out for at step four next year. I really do. Going into probably the southern south, but one of those clubs that is all together as a club. Everybody's got each other's back. The football's superb. The atmosphere in such a tiny ground and the furthest Southern League club there is, Gary. I think they'll do really, really well. And, you know, I think they'll be the most hated side in non-league football next year because Truro have got promoted to step two. So that puts the hatred on Mousel for a season. And they probably know that, you know, because of the journeys. Because I think it was a... From where Truro were playing at Plymouth Parkway, I think it's about another hour and a half after that. So it's a trek. It's about 5.5 hours from Essex, but it'll certainly be interesting. I think when we spoke to them, one of the funniest things I think Keith said to him, didn't he? If I remember rightly, I think he said to him about, you just got to hope that Harrow Borough don't get put in that league because that's a horrific journey for them, you know what I mean? From one end of the country almost to the other. But they're just a lovely bunch of people and I think they could well do something as well. But listen, it's the end of the show. It's the end of the season and what a fantastic guest we've had tonight. Probably, for me, the man that keeps non-league football alive for every supporter in this country. Because Yeah, and we've just crowned a king, but there's the king of non-league football sitting
He's the
right
true
there below
king.
me
Very kind.
because of what he does for every non-league football fan. And if you haven't downloaded it, of course, make sure you get on there because it can't be that many people that haven't downloaded football web pages.
Where have you been if you haven't got it?
If you haven't got it, get onto your app stores and make sure you you do download it. During the off-season, of course, there will be, as I normally do during the off-season, there will be a few My Life's in Football. I've had a few people turn around and say to me today that they are going to come on and do it. One of them's absolutely massive, and I can't even believe it. He's turned around and said he's going to come on and do it. And that I won't say who it is just in case he doesn't turn up. But
no spoiler alert just yet.
So hopefully he will turn up. But somebody that's been in the news quite regularly on a daily basis, professional footballer that will be with us as well, joining us, which will be fantastic. Somebody that me and Ali know very well as well because we've spent some time in his company previously. So it'll be fantastic. But from me, Ali, you've been an absolute pleasure. We appreciate you stepping in for Keith when Keith's not been around this year. And as I've said to you in a text, and I'll say it live on air now, hopefully you will accept the invitation.
No pressure.
That it doesn't just a D&K show next year, it is the DK&A show again next year, and that you will join me and Keith every single week next year. Keith's not with us today because he's with his sister at the moment and his family, but he will be back, of course, for next season. So we will hopefully have Keith back with us next year. And hopefully, who knows, he could be a football manager again this time next year. But a massive thank you, of course, for one other person. And, of course, that is Form Repos. We really, really appreciate your sponsorship. Hopefully, you'll sponsor us again next year. We'll get to see whether that happens, of course, in the off-season. But a massive thank you to Repos Retail Solutions, a fantastic company. Of course, by the chairman, Paul, from, of course, Seven Oaks as well. We wish them all the very, very best for next year. But a massive thank you to everybody at Repos for the sponsorship, their continuing support of the show. But from me, from Ali, and from Gary, thank you for watching us tonight, and we'll see you soon.